everything else that's going on outside of the church, Father, and allow us to focus on your word as it's preached, and allow us to be able to sing praises unto you, Lord. Lord, we love you. Pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
All right, let's turn to our next song, Psalm 196. Psalm 196, I will sing the wonder story. Psalm 196.
Singing this evening, church. It's good to have you all here with us on a Wednesday night at Stronghold Baptist Church. At this time, we're going to go through our announcements. So if you don't have a bulletin, just slip your hand up real high. One of our ushers will get one out to you. Just keep your hand raised until you get a bulletin. And if you would open up to the first page, you will see our service times listed there. Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening again at 5 p.m. Wednesday night at 7 is our Bible study. We've got the soul-winning opportunities listed there, as well as our salvations and baptisms for the month of June. And then the offering totals down there at the bottom, also received through the month of June. Let's go ahead and count up if there's any salvations to report for the week. Just slip your hand up real quick.
Six on the Monday group.
Six. Amen. Wow, that's great. Was that the same place you did last week, or is it a new place?
Same place. Finished it.
Mm-hmm. Wow. One week it's one, another week it's six. Well, that's good. Good. Yes, sir.
Two yesterday.
Brother Austin.
One on Sunday.
One on Sunday. Great. Separate that from the other ones on Sunday. We had 17 on Sunday. So that was awesome. Awesome day. Did I miss anyone else? Anyone else have soul winning numbers to report? Well, very good. Keep up the good work. Preaching the gospel. It's very important. Let's see prayer requests. Do we have any updates? Not that have any updates on the people who are on our prayer list right now? No? All right. And we also added, there's a man, Christian, who's been coming to our church lately. His wife is pregnant, so we pray that that pregnancy goes really well. And then the Ricardos are looking for a new house, so they're just asking for prayers and God leading them to a new home where they can be close to church and find something that will be where God would have them to live. And then the churches and pastors, we're praying for Mountain Baptist Church in Fairmont, West Virginia. Pastor Robinson is a pastor of that church. Pray for him, pray for his family, pray for the ministry. On the next page, big event coming up, the 5-year anniversary. It'll be here before you know it, the 24th. So that is, what is that? It's a week from Sunday. So this that weekend, that Saturday and Sunday, we got a lot of things that are going to be fun. Now, I do finally have the inflatables rented, so we're going to have 2 water features. There's like a big water slide. I think it's like 18-foot water slide inflatable. And then there's another one that's going to be for some of the younger children. That's a bounce house and water slide combo. So both of them are water. We just obtained, I just purchased a snow cone machine for us, for the church. I'm with you on that one, brother. This is long overdue. I can't believe it's taken us 5 years to get one of those things, but we own it now. It costs like $60 to rent those things, $60 or $70 every time we do it. It's just kind of like, I'll spend $80 and just get one for us. This makes a lot more sense. So, I mean, I'm sure we're going to be doing this again. So we've got a popcorn maker already that we've purchased. We've got a snow cone machine. So it'll be a lot of fun. And, of course, I'll be looking for volunteers right before that just to help keep an eye, one, on the things, because we're going to have the bouncy houses stuff back here. Oh, and the other thing with the inflatables, too, I got a good deal on them, except we have to do the setup. I have to do the setup. So I'm picking them up from the company on Friday and then bringing them back on Monday. So we'll have them all weekend so that when we do the soul winning on that Saturday, it'll be available to go up and kids will be able to use it on that Saturday afternoon. I don't really have hours or anything. It really depends on who's here and who's going to be willing to take care of it, you know, and get it secured for overnight if you're going to be here. But we will have it available to be able to use. I'm getting cones. We have little cones. I'm going to get some bigger cones and just completely block off. I already talked to the landlord about it. No problem at all. We're going to block off both sides of this, so we'll have guaranteed to have no traffic going back here. Well, I mean, as much as possible, right? We'll deter traffic from going back there. I should say, I mean, they're just cones. It's not like we're able to put concrete blocks up or something, but we're gonna keep that area closed. And then also, so then like next week, or this week, I should say, this weekend coming up this Sunday, anyone who wants to help just make sure this area is clean. There's a tendency to get a lot of broken glass and stuff back there. I've cleaned up broken glass many times back here. But especially with water stuff, we really want to make sure the kids aren't going to cut themselves on anything. So, of course, I'm going to do another round when we get the inflatables, but it'll help out a lot if anyone wants to just go back there, get a broom, get a dustpan, and just make sure there's nothing out there that looks dangerous for the kids to step on especially. And that would be very helpful. I don't think there really is, but you never know. I mean, there's people go back there and whatever. So just check that out on Sunday when we're here a little bit longer. Be helpful. And trying to see if there's anything else about that event. I mean, it's just going to be awesome. Pastor Mejia is going to be here on Sunday. And then, yes, Leslie? Signing up. Yes, thank you very much. Of course there's something. We got the sign-up sheet now for the food for eating on that Sunday, for that afternoon, because everyone is going to be eating with us that's here at church on that after the morning service. We'll be having food provided, lunch provided, and all we ask is that people just help out a little bit, do a potluck. We'll bring in some sides, and church will buy the meat and the beverages and some of the things like that. And then if you want to sign up for stuff, the sign-up sheet is there now. So you can go ahead and sign up tonight or Sunday or whatever. And really looking forward to that. And like I said, we've got a grill, so we'll be setting that up. soon, and looking forward to it. It's going to be a blast. We should have a really good time. I'm also going to see if I can get one more thing, but I don't want to say what it is yet in case we can't. But that requires a phone call. I wasn't able to order that online, so I'm going to see if we could get one more kind of like a fun thing for the kids. But the water play, the water stuff, the water slide, that's, you know, adults, kids, that's able to hold enough weight. So you want to bring a swimsuit, you know, have at it, or a change of clothes or whatever. You know, it'll be fun. If you want to do that on Saturday instead of on Sunday because you don't want to feel shy, come on out on Saturday. We'll have a little bit of fun. And anyhow, it's gonna be great. We're gonna have a good time. So join us for that. The soul winning is 9:30 to 12:30 on Saturday, and then we'll be playing around a lot in the afternoon and in between the church services. So you don't want to miss that. And please be inviting people. You know, let them know about this event that we're having, and especially if there's anyone you've been talking to. It's just a great opportunity to bring it up again. If you've already talked to coworkers, friends, whatever, hey, come on out, check out our church. You're going to love it. It's going to be a great time. You know, we'll get some lunch, you have some fun, and I don't know, maybe we'll get some cornhole going on or whatever. Like, we'll get some other activities, some other things going on, just hanging out and having fellowship. So looking forward to that. That is just in a couple weeks. We got the June challenge is to give the gospel, attempt to give the gospel to at least one person every day of the month. Hopefully you're keeping up with that. It's not the easiest challenge, but it's definitely rewarding. I've had many conversations this month that I might not have normally had as a result of this challenge. I know there's many other people who could probably say the same thing, and it really is a blessing. So hopefully you're continuing this challenge with us. We've got the Bible memory passage there, Hebrews chapter 8. We are on week 2 of 7 for memorizing this chapter. And, of course, you'll earn a prize by being able to quote that word perfect. We've got the upcoming birthdays and anniversaries listed there for the month of June. Is it, what day, what's today's date? Is there a birthday today? Is today the 14th? It is. Oh, too bad. I was looking if Josh Jr. is here, and he's not. But happy birthday to him, anyways. You're missing out on the ice cream, my friend. Yes, you get ice cream if you're here on your birthday. Or just show up to our anniversary. We won't have ice cream, but we'll have snow cones. So, and I was able to find syrup. This is even better because that we bought it. It took me a while, but I found syrup that doesn't have high fructose corn syrup in it, too, for those of you who care about that. I don't know if you do or not. I do. So I found some that has real sugar in it, which, not that sugar is that great for you either, but at least it's better than the processed sugar. So it's one step above the junk sugar. All right, let's see. We're almost done here. Men's preaching classes this Saturday. So come on out, men. You're interested in coming to that class, 10 o'clock right here. And then Pastor Anderson will be preaching for us on July 5th. And that is about it for our announcements. So, yes, sir. Oh, yes. I've been meaning to bring that up about every service now since Sunday morning. So, Brother Lindsay is our new head usher. He's been our usher here for like since we started pretty much. And I've decided to put him in charge of all of the ushers since we've had multiple men that have been interested in becoming an usher. So if you came to those meetings or that meeting that we had earlier in the year, a few months ago, and you know, go make sure you speak with Brother Lindsay. He'll explain how we're going to be doing the scheduling and what's going to be expected, and it's just going to be much more ordered. So he's in charge of all of that. So follow Brother Lindsay's lead on the ushering, and we've already have, you know, people who have gotten involved. I know Brother Austin's gotten involved, and Brother Chris Logan, and Brother Michael. So all of you can speak to Brother Lindsay, and he'll make sure you talk to him after service today if you're here, and then he'll get you on the same page and make sure everyone knows what's going on. And from moving forward, he'll be the point of contact for making sure you know what day you're supposed to do what and everything else when it comes to all the ushering ministry. So I've been talking about that. Thank you for bringing that up. And yeah, I'm really excited. We got a couple more offering plates for the ushers, so that'll be helpful in their service as well. And oh, we also have a bunch of new Spanish Bibles now, finally. I know it's been sought for a long time, and the reason why I hadn't gotten them in the past is because I was trying to find a source other than Chick Publications. So if you're not familiar with Chick Publications, they make a lot of materials for soul winning, like these tracts, Chick tracts, real common, but I hate them because they almost all have a false gospel. They'll have something about repenting of your sins in order to be saved, and it's very works-based, lordship-type salvation type of tracts. So I didn't really want to purchase them from that source, but it kind of seems to be the only source that's available for getting the RVG Bibles in a format that is affordable to give away freely and distribute. So we got them. Now, the thing is, the people who are putting them out and restocking what we have on the bookshelf, make sure you open them up and get rid of the tracts that they have in them. So we're going to be doing that. You know, we did that tonight, so anything that's out there right now does not have one of the tracts. I just don't want those tracts going out into the hands of the people that we're giving these to, because it tells them that they have to repent of their sins to be saved, which is not what we're showing them, which is not the gospel. So I just want everyone to be aware of that. So if you're like, if you notice, hey, we're out of these Spanish Bibles and I need some, and you go back to the supply room and you grab them, that's fine. That's great. Help yourself. Just be aware that those things are in there and take them out. So, and you should be able to tell the difference too. The ones that are sealed, they're sealed in plastic. Every Bible is sealed in plastic. So if you see one that's sealed in plastic, open it up, and then they're like right inside the front cover. Not hard, that hard to find. Just grab them, take them out, throw them in the trash. And yeah, so what else did we buy? I feel like we bought a few extra things. I don't know. The most important one is the snow cone machine. It's not a Snoopy snow cone machine, but it is a shaved ice maker or whatever, snow cone maker. So that is what I'm all excited about. You know, Spanish Bibles are cool, but all right, I'm going to stop talking now. Brother Peter, come up and lead us in our next song, please.
Sunshine in my soul today.
Psalm chapter 60. And as we do customary here at Stronghold Baptist Church, we're going to read the entire chapter. That's Brother Michael Ricardo. Please do that for us.
That is Psalm chapter 60. Psalm chapter 60. The Bible reads, O God, thou hast cast us off. Thou hast scattered us. Thou hast been displeased. O turn thyself to us again. Thou hast made the earth to tremble. Thou hast broken it. Heal the breaches thereof, for it shaketh. Thou hast showed thy people hard things. Thou hast made us to drink the wine of astonishment. Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that is, made displeased because of the truth. Selah, that thy beloved may be delivered, save with thy right hand, and hear me. God has spoken in his holiness. I will rejoice. I will devise Shechem and meet out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine and Manasseh is mine. Ephraim also is the strength of mine head. Judah is my lawgiver. Moab is my washpot. Over Edom will I cast out my shoe. Philistia, triumph thou because of me. Who will bring me into the strong city? Who will lead me into Edom? Wilt not thou, O God, which has cast us off, and thou, O God, which didst not go out with our armies? Give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. Through God we shall do valiantly, for he is it is that shall tread down our enemies. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this church. And God, we are just so grateful for the souls that have been saved. We're grateful for all that has been done as far as through this ministry. And God, bless Pastor Burgess with the words you have for him to speak. Allow for him to speak in boldness. Allow for him to preach whatever you have for him to preach. Place on his heart whatever you have for him to speak in your word. We say this in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, so Psalm 60, we're going to dig right in here. Of course, there's a lot of real similar content. You know, so the themes here in the past 10 Psalms, we've been doing this for about 10 weeks now. We started Psalm 50, and a lot of them are really related, but they all have their own observations in them, and they're definitely different, even though thematically they're very similar. So let's dig into this one and see what we could glean, see what we could learn from the Word of God tonight. Look at verse number 1. The Bible says, O God, thou hast cast us off. Thou hast scattered us. Thou hast been displeased. O turn thyself to us again. And we see this a few times in this passage, the seeking out God. So after God has already been displeased with people here, with the children of Israel, or even just with you personally, you know, say, hey, God, you've cast us off, you've scattered us, you've been really angry with us, you've been displeased, but turn back to us again. And the only reason you're going to turn back to him again is because they're saying, hey, we're going to turn back to you, God, please, you know, come back to us. Don't just cast us off forever. You know, come back and be with us. Verse 2 says, thou hast made the earth to tremble, thou hast broken it. Heal the breaches thereof, for it shaketh. And one of the things that we're going to see, I mean, again, I'll say this from the very beginning, is the concept of the forgiveness and being able to move forward, right? No matter what is going on, especially in the lives of believers, right? This is what we're talking about here. The children of Israel are representative of the children of God. We apply that spiritually. You're a child of God. You're part of the children of God. You know, even when Christianity as a whole, people who are believers as a whole have kind of strayed away from the Lord. Look, we need to get back and seek God again and ask him to say, look, God, I know you've been displeased with us, but turn back to us again. We know you had to make the earth tremble. Like at this point, he's saying you've had to do some pretty severe things. But help us to heal now. You know, you've broken us. Now help us to mend. Help us to be healed and get back to where we need to be. Verse 3 says, thou hast showed thy people hard things. Thou hast made us to drink the wine of astonishment. And oftentimes when it comes to our sin, when it comes to where we're wrong, those are hard things. Right? It's hard things to deal with. And the truth from God's word many times can come across as being very hard, hard to deal with. And this is why we call it, you know, hard preaching. And I am a big fan of hard preaching. Man, I love to hear hard preaching. Why? Because we need to know the truth. We don't need anyone filtering it, watering it down, censoring, withholding the word of God. That's not going to do anyone any good. Now, yeah, it might smack you right in the face. It might at first be like, oh, man, what, you know, what have I done? But it gives you the opportunity to get right. You don't want to continue doing the wrong thing and continuing for God to be displeased with you because you don't even know what the right way is. And yeah, it may be hard, and you know, the right way commonly is hard. The easy thing to do is the wrong thing. Going the way of the world, going the way of giving up, turning to substances, turning to whatever to just focus your life on, that's the easy way. Now, it's hard in the long run to live that life. It's going to do a toll on you, on your body, on your joy. You're not going to have any of that stuff. But being able to say no to your flesh, that's hard, right? Being able to walk in the spirit and die to self daily, that's not the easy path. That's the hard path. But that's the right path. And we need this hard preaching. The right way is not always easy. Sometimes it's hard to be confronted with our sins, but it's needful. It's what we need. As the Bible says in Isaiah 58, the instruction for the prophet Isaiah, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgression in the house of Jacob their sins. This is part of what's really important, a poor message from the word of God is for people to just hear and see their sins and be able to realize, hey, we've done this wrong. That's hard preaching. But in this desire, notice here, though, it is the hard preaching that's bringing them back to God. This is where you get your true revival moments with people, especially saved people, right? Of getting back to God, wanting to get right, is it's not coming from the soft, everything's okay, really watered down, no one's really making a stand and kind of alluding to what the Bible might actually say. That doesn't stir people up. I'm sorry, it doesn't. That's not very motivational. The people who just want to tiptoe around what the Bible actually says, you know who gets stirred up? It's the people who hear the word of God and hear it very clearly, and it's just real plain, and it just says, hey, thus saith the Lord. And people like and will respond to that. God's people, when they hear the word of God, will respond to that. I mean, how many people, when whatever it was you got exposed to, whatever preaching you heard, you know, whatever you were doing in your life, can I get a witness on people whose lives have been changed and you are on fire for serving the Lord because of the preaching you've heard that was just not withheld and not held back at all, and you just heard the preaching of the word of God? Amen. Amen. I mean, I know for a fact with my life, even just finding a church, it's just kind of like you go to this church and you kind of hear nothing. And you go to another church and there's really not much of anything going on. And look, I should have had the character to stay in church and not forsake the assembling of the believers, because there were believers being gathered together. But you know what? It's not until you actually sit down, it's like, man, here's someone preaching the word of God. Here's someone just making it plain, which was another instruction that God gave to his prophets. Hey, make it plain. Make it easily understood. Help the people to understand. Lay it all out there. Amen. Here's the word of the Lord. You know, raise up your voice. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Make sure everyone can hear you. Make sure it's clear. Make sure you're not leaving any room for doubt. Oh, no, what's true, what's not. Hey, this is what God said. This is what the Bible says. This is true. This is false. Amen. Any questions? Right? That's the preaching that needs to be done. And you know what? That's going to be some hard things. And that's going to cause people to understand, hey, the Lord's been very displeased with you. But that should also then produce a godly sorrow in your heart to want to turn back to the Lord and be like, God, I'm sorry. I didn't realize it was so bad because this world has gotten into my head and made me think that it's really not that big of a deal. But apparently I needed to hear the word of God to understand, no, it really is that bad. And that maybe I needed to be brought really low, which is what had to happen here, because he says, look, you've made the earth to tremble. You've broken it. Can you heal it now, please? Can you mend us? Can you fix it again? You got through to us, finally. And sometimes that's what people need. But you need to hear the hard things. You need to hear the hard truths. You need to drink the wine of astonishment and just be like, whoa, what is going on? What has happened? And be confronted with the truth. I love this in verse number 4. Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee. A banner. It's something to get behind. It's a flag. It's a banner is a flag. Right? You've given a banner to them that fear thee. It's a rallying point. There's something to come together about that it may be displayed. God doesn't want you hiding your banner. He doesn't want the banner of the Lord to just be tucked. And that's not the point of a banner, right? It's one of those things that I think in our modern culture, our modern society, it's not completely just gone. But normally when you think about banners, people are bringing their banners out to war. When there would be armies marching into battle, they'd be carrying their banner for their cause. What are we fighting for? Hey, this is what we're fighting for. And everyone rallies around that flag, that banner, going, this is what it's all about. This is what we're fighting for. And then they'd lift up their banners, and they'd raise it up high, and they'd set it up high for everyone to know, hey, this is what we're gathered around. I mean, that's what motivated most of the American people in our culture today. Just think back, like, to join wars and get involved in things like World War II. Is that, you know, when the American flag stood for something that was a lot more righteous and wholesome than it does now. Unfortunately, now it doesn't really seem to have the same meaning as it used to. But who cares about that banner? You know what? God gives a banner. Who cares about the banner of the state? Who cares about the banner of the Lord? And when God has given a banner, he's given a banner to them that fear him, that it may be displayed. And he says this, that it may be displayed because of the truth. You should have no embarrassment and no shame in waving this banner and carrying this banner up and put it up there real high and make sure everyone can see, hey, I've got this banner. It's the truth. You don't have any reason to back down. No one can call you out on having this banner because it's not a lie. There's nothing to be ashamed of in the truth. You've got the word of God. Hey, put it out there on blast. Put it out there for everybody to see. We've got the word of God. We've got this great banner on high that God has given us. This concept is all throughout the Bible. We see it in the New Testament a lot, especially. Turn if you go to Luke chapter 11. Actually, just go to Luke chapter 12. I'll read Luke 11:33. The Bible says, no man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. Like the whole point of having that candlestick, when you have that candle, it's because you want to illuminate. You want to shine the brightness. You're not like, I want this candle, but I'm going to hide it. Like the kids do when they're staying up late reading at night and they get under their covers with their flashlight, right? That's not how we're supposed to be with the light that God has given us. Not like the kids who are trying to hide and make sure no one sees this light. Why? Because they're doing things they're not supposed to do. But when you're doing righteous, when you've got the word of God, hey, make sure everyone sees that. Everyone needs to see that light, especially in this dark world. Luke chapter 12, verse number 3, the Bible says, therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. The things that you learn, the things that you hear, you know, you hear them in secret. You learn them in your house, maybe reading your Bible early in the morning, late at night. God's showing you things, saying, you know what, that's the type of stuff you need to proclaim from the housetops. You may have received it in a quiet place, in just no one else around, but what you've received from God, you need to proclaim upon the housetops. And then he follows that up with the warning of saying, hey, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of the people that basically all they can do is kill you. That's like the worst. Like at the end of the day, what can they do? They can take your life. Now, it's a real threat. No one wants to just lose their life, right? I mean, I don't want to lose my life. I like my life. I want to keep living my life. But God's saying it's more important that you don't withhold and that you preach from the rooftops, even though there's people that may want to take your life. You do it anyways. And instead of being afraid of them, hey, you know what? There's someone that could not only take a life here, but then also cast into hell. Amen. That's who you really need to be afraid of. Amen. Not just the man that can take your life. Be afraid of Almighty God. Amen. All-powerful God. That's who you need to fear. And if God is saying, I want you to proclaim this from the rooftops, and that's what we do. Because who cares what man can do? We're not here to please man. But you know what? Your flesh wants to please man. We need to walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. Isaiah chapter 13, the Bible says this. Isaiah 13 verse 1, the Bible reads, the burden of Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amoz did see, lift ye up a banner upon the high mountain. Exalt the voice unto them. Shake the hand that they may go into the gates of the nobles. I have commanded my sanctified ones. I have also called my mighty ones for mine anger, even them that rejoice in my highness. He's talking to the same group of people. He's talking to believers. And a lot of Isaiah, I believe, is very prophetic. Not just talking about, it's definitely very prophetic in a short-term sense, but Isaiah specifically, I believe, is also extremely prophetic in a long-term sense as well, in a fulfillment to come that hasn't even happened yet. So there's definitely a lot of the shorter-term things that have already happened that Isaiah fulfills, but we see even more to come. And I'm going to keep reading from Isaiah 13, but I think that we can see this applied also from Revelation chapter 19, but I'm going to keep reading here in Isaiah 13, because what did he tell him? He says, first of all, Isaiah 13, one starts off with the burden of Babylon. Well, we know there's a Babylon to come, right? There's definitely the Babylon from back then. There's the Babylon that came in and took Israel captive, and then ultimately Babylon then was destroyed, right? And there's lots of prophecies about that were fulfilled at the fall of Babylon from way back in the day. But there's a future Babylon to come that's prophesied also in the book of Revelation. And I think many of the things that we saw happen in the past will also come to pass in the future. Now, the burden of Babylon, and then he says, lift ye up the banner upon the high mountain. What the banner? The banner of the Lord. Exalt the voice unto them. Shake the hand that they may go into the gates of the nobles. I have commanded my sanctified ones. I have also called my mighty ones for mine anger, even them that rejoice in my highness. The noise of a multitude in the mountains, like as of a great people, a tumultuous noise of the kingdoms of nations gathered together. The Lord of hosts mustereth the host of the battle. Thank you, sweetheart. They come from a far country, from the end of heaven, even the Lord and the weapons of his indignation to destroy the whole land. Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. And again, we have a reference to the day of the Lord. And it's not to say that there can't be another day of the Lord that was earlier, that already came and destroyed, but we do know for sure that there is a day of the Lord that's to come, absolutely undeniable, where there's going to be cosmological events, there's things happening in the heavens, you know, that have not happened yet, that is also called the day of the Lord. So these references, we see this lifting up the banner on high, we see this call to get behind the Lord, we see these events stacking up. I'm going to compare this now with Revelation chapter 19. Verse 11, Bible reads, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." So here we see Jesus Christ on this horse, on this white horse, coming to judge and to make war, is what the Bible says. "And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean." Now, we're not seeing any reference to an actual banner in the description in Revelation chapter 19, but that's who we're following. It's what he stands for. It's the kingdom of God. It's what it represents. That would be the banner that we're following. It's the banner that Jesus Christ would wave. And here we see a people that can follow Jesus Christ. It says, "And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword." Verse 14, "And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." And the people who are following, the saints that follow Christ, they have no reason to be ashamed, no reason to not be inspired and to just go forth at the command of God and ride and go forward under that banner. It's a banner that can be displayed because of the truth. Let's go back to Psalm 60. Don't ever be ashamed of the Bible. Don't ever be ashamed of the Word of God. It is a banner that is meant to be displayed because it is truth. It's funny because if you're going to have pride about anything, if you're going to want to exalt anything or lift anything up and say, "Hey, everybody, look at this," it should be the Word of God. It should be the truth. It should be something like this, something that's holy, something that's righteous, something that's perfect, and not sin and debauchery and wickedness and vileness and abomination.
Amen.
How in the world does a society get to the point where it's saying, "We're going to call some of the worst things in the world, we're just going to lift this up as being great, and I'm just going to show my pride in all of this"? It's disgusting. Yep. It's so completely backwards. It's astonishing that even unsaved people can ever swallow that complete reversal of what's right, and just the exaltation of wickedness in the trampling of righteousness. It's insane. It's insanity. It's a satanic society that even tolerates that, let alone promotes and is, "Oh, no problem with that. Got no problem with your pride. Got no problem with your filth. Got no problem with you going after the kids." Lord, help us. No, this is what needs to be flown. And this is what God's people need to be standing strong on when people want to come at you and try to make you embarrassed or ashamed and like, "Well, didn't you know that the Bible says?" Yeah, I do know what the Bible says, actually.
Amen.
You're the one that doesn't know what the Bible says. You definitely don't believe what the Bible says, but you know what? I do.
Amen.
And I'm not like one of these stinking hypocrite Christians that wants to pick and choose what they want to believe out of the Bible. I believe all of it. And I think it's all good, and it's all the Word of God, and it all should be stood upon and never back down from. Not one bit, Ted Cruz.
Yep.
Not one bit, phony Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Not one bit, you know, you political Christian that wants to say everything that the talking heads on the conservative right movement want to say. You know what? Why don't you get your face in the Word of God and love the Word of God for what it says?
Amen.
Because it is truth. And why don't you hold it up high and not be embarrassed or not be ashamed? "Oh, I want to bring religion into politics." You know what? Religion is truth if it's the Word of God. If it's the Bible, it's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
It supersedes your politics. What, are you gonna put politics above God's word? Are you gonna put politics above the truth? It's ridiculous. Nothing is above the truth. Back in Psalm chapter 60, look at verse number 5, the Bible says, that thy beloved may be delivered. Let's get this into context again. Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth, Selah, that thy beloved may be delivered. Save with thy right hand and hear me. He's given us the banner. And we have no reason to fear. And he says, that thy beloved may be delivered, save with thy right hand and hear me. God hath spoken in his holiness. I will rejoice. Now this is from God's perspective now, right? When it says God hath spoken in his holiness, I will rejoice. I will divide Shechem and mete out the valley of Succoth. This is what God's going to do. He's going to divide Shechem. He's going to mete out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine and Manasseh is mine. Ephraim also is the strength of mine head. Judah is my lawgiver. This is what God's going to do. God's happy now to see his people come back to him and is now willing to lead again in battle and to provide that banner for them and to allow them to continue to go forward. Even though he's already been displeased with them, he's still giving them, okay, here's the banner, now let's move forward again. And he's not done with his people. And he's willing to keep going forward. Now, this reference to Judah being the lawgiver is actually mentioned quite a few times in the Bible. But I'm just going to read one reference for you from Genesis chapter 49 when the children of Israel were being blessed. The Bible says in verse number 8, or not necessarily being blessed, depending on what tribe you're talking about, Judah 49, or Genesis 49, verse 8, the Bible says, Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he couched as a lion and as an old lion. Who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. That's talking about Christ being Shiloh. Shiloh being come is Christ, Jesus Christ that comes. He's saying there's not going to fail, there's not going to depart from Judah a lawgiver. Someone who's willing, who's giving the law, who's staying in that place until Jesus comes. And that's why Jesus came of the tribe of Judah. His lineage goes all the way back because it fulfills this prophecy going all the way back to Genesis. Of the coming of Christ, Shiloh, Jesus Christ, that ultimate lawgiver that's going to come. Because after him, then they don't need any more lawgivers because he's the final lawgiver. Binding his foal unto the vine and his ass's colt unto the choice vine, he washed his garments in wine and his clothes in the blood of grapes. His eyes shall be red with wine and his teeth white with milk. Again, just referencing the shed blood and what he did for us as the Savior, giving us more indication that we know that this is talking about Jesus Christ. Judah is the lawgiver. Let's keep reading here, verse number 8. Moab is my washpot, and over Edom will I cast out my shoe. So basically, these other nations, you know, you have nothing to worry about. God's saying, you know what Moab is to me? My washpot. Like, I'm gonna turn them over and scrub them up and down, and you know, they're nothing. And what, over Edom? I'm gonna cast my shoe. Edom. That's what I think of you. Who was that? Was that the George Bush? Remember that? Does anyone remember that? Was there he was at some press conference and some guy got through and he threw a shoe at him? He's like representative of Edom. The judgment of God comes to him. Like, I'm gonna cast out my shoe at you, George Bush. Edom, whatever. Philistia, triumph thou because of me. Who will bring me into the strong city? Now this is shifted again, and sometimes it's not easy to tell, but from God's perspective, saying, "Hey, I'm gonna do this. This is my people. I've got my lawgiver here." But now it's back from the human perspective. Who will bring me into the strong city? Who will lead me into Edom? Wilt not thou, O God, which hadst cast us off? And thou, O God, which didst not go out with our armies? It's like, who's going to bring us this great victory? Who's going to lead us against this enemy? Well, it has to be God. Yeah, the same God that had cast us off, the same God that wasn't with our armies, he's the only one that's going to bring us in and give us a victory. We have to trust in God. The reason why God had left was because of their own wickedness. The reason why God wasn't with their armies is because they weren't seeking God. But now once you realize that, this is the great news, and this is the great message, and this is the hope that we have in the Word of God, is to be able to still gain God's favor to lead us and to defend us again, even after failure. Even after, you know, being wicked, even after doing things, getting out of God's graces, getting away from the Lord, to still be able to come back and have God receive us, and not just receive us, but be willing to fight for us again.
Amen.
That's a good message.
Yep.
The God that won't just forsake you. Man, what an awesome truth. In this passage here, look at verse number 11. The Bible says, give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. Like, how are we going to get into Edom? How are we going to do this? Well, it's only with God. Because you know what? At the end of the day, vain is the help of man. And talk about a theme that's been taught over and over and over again in Scripture. Many, many, many examples when the children of Israel were lacking faith, when they weren't turning to the Lord, they're trying to trust in these other nations and these other countries to help them out and these other wicked people. And when does that ever work out? Never. It's vain. It doesn't last. It doesn't help them. You can't trust in the arm of man, the arm of flesh. That's never who you turn to for help. When this country's in trouble and we need some help, we need some military, because look, it's going to happen at some point. You don't turn to England. You don't turn to any country. I don't care who it is. We're definitely not turning to Canada. You know, we're going to turn to Mexico. We're not going to turn to whatever. I mean, name the country. We're not turning to man for help. What we need to do is turn to the Lord. Because the Lord is the only sure hope, the only sure source, the only sure strength, the only sure deliverer. Vain is the help of man. It's empty. There's nothing to it. It's not going to give you what you think. And other countries that are looking to the United States for help, you don't need the help of the United States. Have God help you. And this is what's so foolish. If God is against a nation, what nation is there going to be that's going to stand against God? If God is against you, who could be for you? Right? That's the inverse of, if God be for us, who could be against us? But if God is against you, who in the world could be? The only people who could be for you are going to be people who want to be destroyed also. Like, you want some of that destruction too? Go ahead. Join up with them. Love those that hate the Lord. And who God hates. You're going to find yourself in the same predicament, the same condition. Verse 12, through God we shall do valiantly. For he it is that shall tread down our enemies. This psalm is all about having that right heart. It's having the right heart after not having had the right heart, after failing, after getting away from the Lord, but now getting back and getting everything right and entreating the Lord, God, be with us, God, heal us, God, help us, God, still go out now and fight our battles for us. And you know what? We're going to be encouraged. We're going to be able to go out and fight valiantly. We're not going to have any fear. We're not going to have any doubt. We're not going to run away because, God, we know you're with us, and you know what? The battle belongs unto you. And we're not involved in the physical fight. We're in a spiritual battle. Maybe you've been struggling spiritually and you feel like you've been beaten. Well, get back up. Follow the banner of the Lord. And be encouraged to do valiantly, because God's the one that gets the victory anyways. We just need to follow his lead. Flip back, if you would, to Psalm 20. There's another reference here just to the banners being set up, and this is very similar to what we just read in this psalm, in Psalm 60. enough to point it out and just make mention of it. Psalm 20, verse 5, the Bible reads, "We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions." So in the name of God is what we set up our banners for, right? We put forward that flag, that banner for the Lord. Verse 6, "Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God." It's the same concept of, hey, we're going to follow the banner of God. We're going to get behind the Lord. We're going to know that God is going to hear us. He'll hear his holy from heaven. He will save. And, you know, we're not going to trust in man. Vain is the help of man. We're going to trust in the Lord. Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, some trust in tanks, some trust in nuclear warheads, some trust in whatever weapon that man can come up with, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Amen. Because, again, at the end of the day, I don't care how many nukes you have, God can cause all of the things that you trust in to go away and to come to naught. Literally, he could make the entire nuclear arsenal completely ineffective. Now, man would look at an event where something like that would happen and say, oh, someone screwed up and someone did this and someone did that. And so, you know, no, if God wants, he could just make it so that they're just completely ineffective, or they just go off in the land that wants to send them out instead of them being sent over somewhere else. I mean, whatever, right? A whole infinite number of possibilities of things that could happen if God so desires. A foolish thing to trust in. And I don't care how technologically advanced the weapon is. It doesn't matter. A horse and a chariot, a machine gun, a laser, okay, sharks with lasers on their heads, I don't care what it is. No matter how advanced you want to get, don't trust in those things. We trust in the Lord. And follow the banner of truth. And it's, there's no reason to hide behind that. There's no reason to fear. And honestly, and I didn't want to get into this, but angels are real. Devils are real too, but angels are real. We've seen stories in the Bible of angels defending people, angels defending people of God that had no physical weapons on them. I mean, Elisha wasn't armed. He didn't have like a bazooka when like all these other armies are surrounding him and stuff. But you know what? God can defend, and God will protect. And that's why we trust in that. And honestly, no matter what happens and what goes on, I'm a believer in being, you know, armed and being ready to defend yourself and having that individual responsibility. But really, at the end of the day, no matter what, and you know, the children of Israel and David that did trust in the Lord, he did have chariots, he had horses. But that's not where his faith was in what is going to save him and protect him, right? Some things are wise and prudent to have. It's wise and prudent, just like Jesus said, hey, you know, if you don't have a sword, go, you know, sell your garment and get a sword. Make sure you got a sword. Just like have it. But that's not where your faith needs to rest in. That's not what we're trusting in that's going to save us. It's doing the will of God. It's marching under that great banner of the Lord. That's where our faith is. That's what we trust in. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we love you and we thank you. We thank you so much for standing up for us. We thank you for being there, for your mercy, for your long suffering, that even when we do wrong, even if we backslide and just get completely out of serving you, dear Lord, that you'll still be there when we turn back, and that you'll answer our call, Lord, that when we finally are humbled and want to serve you again, and we realize, we hear the hard sayings, we drink the wine of astonishment, dear Lord, and come back to our senses that you're still there for us. We love you and thank you for being long-suffering and merciful, Lord. And I pray that you would please just stir us up to serve you more, to be edified, and to just going forward and marching forth under your banner. And Lord, we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to sing one more song before we're dismissed for the evening. Brother Peter, please lead us.
Stand up, stand up.